Hello and welcome to another edition of the Tigers Down Under. I'm your host, Alex, and with me I have Mitch. How are you, Mitch?
Good, thanks, mate. How are you?
Yeah, very good, very good. Long time no see on the pod. I could wish it was under better circumstances with the loss to Watford on the weekend, but you and I both suffered through that on the Saturday night. But how did you feel about the game overall? We'll start off overall feelings.
Frustrating, I think. That is the main word I could use, because I think we probably were the better side and probably should have won.
Yeah, it's one of those games. I actually haven't looked at the stats. I should pull the shot stats up. I think it was, I mean, people sort of use the phrase, but you sort of think there's games this season that we've played worse and come away with the 3 points. So to play as well as we did against Watford and not get away with a single point, at least, especially when you think at 1-1, Philogene steps up for the penalty, to think that we're going to walk away with no points is pretty frustrating.
Yeah, especially the way he's been going, you wouldn't expect him to miss that. So, yeah, I kind of thought the game was sewn up when he stepped up, and that was silly of me to think so.
Yeah, 23 shots to 10, 7 on target to 4, sort of tells its own story. But what did you make of that, actually, with Philogene stepping up for the penalty? Did you think he was, I mean, like you just said there, the form he's been in, you think he's going to be the one to put it away? Maybe it's the hindsight talking. I feel like maybe Delap was the one that probably should have taken it.
I don't know. I think it's easy to say in hindsight, but I'm sure they would have done it at training. Obviously, Toufan would have been the one if he was on. But, I'm sure they've talked about it at training. And if not, then I'm sure they will now.
Well, we'll talk through the game then. Obviously got off to a pretty poor start with conceding that goal after about 7 minutes. But, you know, about as good a response as you can hope for with scoring pretty much straight away from the kickoff. Just about really the minute after the goal that we conceded, a fantastic run from Delap and then a great finish from Twine. I think on the commentary, they said it's sort of a habit at the moment that players, after they get their first goal, score straight away in the next game with, Morton getting 2 goals in a row and now Twine getting 2 goals in a row. It was a great finish.
Yeah, it was. But yeah, as you and I talked about during the coverage, it was all down to Delap. That, especially the first half, he was unplayable. His drive and no one really could get near him. He was just doing it for fun. So yeah, it was good that something came of it. And yeah, Twine's finish was unlike what we've seen from him at all this season. So hopefully he keeps that up.
Yeah, I feel like he's got a bit of confidence about him now. And even in the second half, I feel like his pressing's really good. I think he turned the ball over quite a few times off the Watford players, which was great to see. He's got that high work rate, high energy, which I assume is what's getting him in the team over Toufan, because even though he doesn't necessarily have the end product in every game at the moment, he's working hard for the team, he's covering the grass, and he's putting that pressure on.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. And I don't think Toufan is necessarily lazy, but yeah, Twine just definitely does offer that little bit more off the ball.
Yeah, and good to see. Speaking of Delap, we got through the Watford game without a yellow card for him, so he doesn't get suspended. We've now got the amnesty for, I think it's 10 yellow cards now. There was a moment, I think it was in the first half, it might have been in the second half, where he was getting pretty frustrated and he pushed the Watford keeper, and I was just sitting there in the chat just saying, like, come on, Liam, don't get a yellow card. Because you could tell, like, his frustration was bubbling away, and he was clearly getting pretty close to a yellow.
Yeah, I mean, it would be pretty frustrating doing so many good runs and stuff and not getting a goal for yourself. But yeah, I didn't realize he was on card watch. So yeah, that's good.
Yeah, good for him to dodge that one. I guess the other aspect as well, we talked about Philogene missing the penalty, but it seemed like that sort of game from him where even before he had the missed penalty, he seemed as if he was trying almost too hard. Like, he was taking a lot of shots from outside the box. He was trying to make things happen, which I guess is what you want from a player like that. But I think there was one play in particular. He took a shot from outside the box. I think there was a few options on, and you sort of think, and then even after the penalty, even more so, I feel like he was just sort of trying to make up for the missed penalty. He got in the way of, I want to say it was Twine's shot, might have been Delap. And you just think it just didn't seem like anything was going to fall his way.
Yeah, and he was taking a lot of shots, and I like that, generally speaking. Like, it's always, we want players to take more shots. So, yeah, he was trying hard. But yeah, you could see the frustration, and especially when he got in the way of that shot after the penalty, he was just like head in hands, like ripping his hair out, sort of thing. It's just, and I think those sort of players have those nights sometimes, and it's just about if he just like puts that behind him or not, or if he lets that weigh on him and then it turns into a thing. But so hopefully it's just a one-off thing and he scores again this weekend.
Yeah, and we can't get away without discussing the Watford winner. I actually, you know, the curse of having the delayed stream does mean occasionally you get goals spoiled for you. And I can't remember what I was checking. I think I was checking Premier League scores or something, and I caught it out of the corner of my eye. And I was very confused because I think also I've had a goal kick or something, and so the ball seemed in our control. He launches it up the field. I'm like, must have been an error on the score app. There's no way that they're scoring from this situation. And then, yeah, next thing you know, Wesley Hoyt just launches it. And there's sort of a few elements to this. I mean, I know you're pretty scathing of the fact he was so far off his line, which I think is a fair shout. But I've seen a lot of people critical that he doesn't make an attempt to save it. And you know, a podcast that both you and I listen to a bit is the Not the Top 20 podcast, and even the second tier as well. I think both, when discussing this goal, pretty much acknowledge like it's so far over his head, he's not going to be able to save that. It's, you know, sort of couple of feet over his head, he's not going to get to it. So I feel like the criticism of him not making an attempt is probably a little bit harsh, but I think it's much more justified to criticize how far off his line he was.
Yeah, I can't believe people are even questioning why he didn't try to dive for it. It was well over his head. He was not getting anywhere near that. No one's getting anywhere near that from the position that he started in. But yeah, that was my gripe with it. That he was so far off his line when the ball was still in a half and our defenders weren't that far in front of him. So I don't think he did have to be so high up. But yeah, once the ball's at him, it's not a chance.
You sort of look at the Swansea game and now this one with a couple of errors leading to goals, even the Rotherham goal maybe, but, you know, it's a consolation, doesn't mean a whole lot. There's been a little bit of chatter about whether you'd look at making a change in goal. I don't think you should, because I think what he offers and the positive play that he brings to the side definitely outweighs it. But do you think there's a case to be made or not?
Oh, absolutely. I think he's been pretty poor the last few games. Both goals at Swansea were yeah, poor keeping, very poor keeping, especially the one where he parried it. That's like, I remember we went through an era with like Alan McGregor doing that. For a good 6 months, and it's like, what the hell happened to this guy? And that was incredibly frustrating because he did it like 4 or 5 games, the same thing. And yeah, that's what that takes me back to, because I don't think we've had a keeper do that since then.
David Marshall had his moments as well.
Yeah, definitely. I understand he has been doing a lot of good stuff, especially with the ball. His distribution is generally pretty good, but yeah, I think there's definitely a case to be made if he's making these errors and stuff, that Ingram's a good keeper. He is.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
Cameron's got a question in the chat saying, do you think Allsop's positioning is a coaching choice? Is Rosie asking him to play that high off the ball? And I think Rosie did actually say in the post, you know, managers are always going to defend their players. I think Rosie sort of said, blame him, not Allsop, because he's told him to do that. But I think the counter to that, I'd say, and I think it's what you've said about it, is that, you know, because we've got that possession and we're attacking, it's not as if the ball's contested in their half or something like that. Like, he probably doesn't need to be that high up in that situation.
Yeah, I think it's kind of in the middle. I think it's, you got to pick your moments to push forward, and yeah, when the ball is where it is and when the defenders are where they are. But yeah, it's definitely something as a coach, because you see it all the time. He's quite far up the pitch.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll give my 3 MVP votes for this game. I don't know if you've got yours prepared yet, but you can have a think about them while I give mine. I went Delap for the 3, which I think is going to be a common theme between the two of us. I think, as you sort of said earlier, he was unplayable in this one. When he's in that sort of form, I was actually a bit worried. I think it was just before halftime. He looked a bit proppy and sort of grabbed at a calf or something, but came out after halftime and shook that off and kept going. So that was great to see, because we've got to keep him fit. I think having Connolly as the backup option doesn't offer the same sort of dynamism as Delap does. Twine for the two, I thought his goal was really well taken. I thought his pressure and presence around the ground was awesome to see. And it was great to see him putting in a really good shift in that sense. And I went Greaves for the one point, won the penalty, was doing pretty well in that back line and is... I think I saw he made team of the week, which was pretty impressive in a losing side. So that was good to see as well.
Yeah, I don't differ from that in any way. It has to be Delap one, and Twine obviously got the goal and played generally pretty good. And yeah, you just touched on Greaves making team of the week, so they saw the same thing we did, I suppose.
Good shouts. Okay, well, we'll do our player review now. We'll do a quick run through on this one before we look ahead to the QPR game this weekend. This week, looking at Cyrus Christie, probably a timely one, given he had that article, I think it was last week in the paper, basically. I don't know if it was a please, probably a strong term for it, but he was basically asking for a new contract, saying he's loving his time here, really enjoying it, wants to keep playing for us and wants a new deal. I think Liam Rossini basically came out and said, mate, you know, it's a bit early in the season to be doing that. We'll sort that later in the season. You know, he sort of said, oh, he's doing all the right things, but he also said Doherty's doing all the right things. And I think we'll see him going in January. I think Chris is an interesting one. I think last season he was looking really strong and basically forced his way into the team and had no place for Coyle in that sense. Scored a couple of goals, was getting assists, was looking really dangerous. But he seems like this season, I don't know if it's an age thing or a fitness thing, he doesn't seem to have that same attacking prowess about him. That, like, he got the two assists against Swansea, so looked pretty good, but haven't seen those performances as much this season. So I guess, first of all, what have you made of his time at City overall? And then do you think he does deserve a new contract?
Well, as you know, I was pretty excited when we signed him, and then he proved that excitement to be... thing I should have had, I guess, because yeah, he was getting assists for fun at one point. And I think he got injured, I guess. Yeah, it's obviously not been what it was last year, this season. But he obviously still has that quality, as we saw with the two Swansea assists. I agree with Racine. Yeah, it's a bit early to be talking about contracts and stuff. We're not even at Christmas yet. But yeah, I think I'd definitely still give him a contract knowing he does have that quality.
Yeah, I was actually surprised. I mean, he's made 44 appearances for us. I actually forgot he joined in August last year. I had it in my head that it was like October, November sort of time as like one of those random free agents that teams sometimes pick up. But yeah, 44 appearances. So actually a pretty decent spell, because I think Seri only had his 50th game for us last week or something. So doesn't seem as if Christie's played as much as Seri, but there you go. Yeah, look, I think he's had a really good spell so far. I'd probably like... We've given Coyle a new 3-year deal, so I don't see why we wouldn't give Christie at least another 2 years or something. It's not like he's that old. I think he's 30 or something. So he's got a bit of time left in those legs. So, you know, he's probably about as good as we're going to get for that sort of price. So I think he's worth keeping.
Yeah, and I think that he can break a game open when we need it. Like, there's been times where we look pretty flat going forward and he'll just like beat a few people and put a cross and then we score. Like, happened last season, there's games that we were definitely the second best side, but he just managed to pull that out. So yeah, definitely.
Actually, just a quick one before we do the QPR game. There's the FA Cup draw over the weekend. We were actually one of the last teams picked out, which was a bit frustrating because there was a couple of really decent lower league teams there that could have been fun to come up against. But of course, we had to pick up Birmingham at home in the cup, which seems like a pretty underwhelming cup draw. What did you make of it?
Yeah, boring again. I don't know the last fun one we had, really. Like, will we play Chelsea a few years ago? But that's like as fun as it's got for a long time. I know there was that one time where we had a draw against someone and they had a playoff game or a replayed game, and they were quite a low team. I think they might have been non-league. Yeah, but we didn't get them, and yeah. Yeah.
The most fun cup game I can remember in recent times, so I think your housemate or mate might remember, is the League Cup game 2 or 3 seasons ago against Leeds, where we beat them like 15-14 on penalties.
Yeah,
when we were in League One, that's probably the most enjoyable one I can remember in recent times. But yeah, I mean, Birmingham at home, pretty boring. Hopefully means we can progress and yeah, maybe get a Premier League team in the next round. But yeah, not too much to say on that one. Well, let's round things off then. We'll talk QPR this weekend, where they've got Marty Cifuentes, if I pronounced that correctly, in charge. Took over from Ainsworth end of October. So he's actually been there just over a month now. Was basically a pretty unknown manager when he came in. I'd never heard of him before. But he's done pretty well. I think he's got two wins in a row now. I think I heard that he only needs one more win to equal Ainsworth's wins in his entire spell there, which is pretty crazy. But yeah, seems to have them playing a whole lot better.
Yeah, I think it's pretty easy with QPR. If you get Cher and Willick playing well, then you're going to score goals. And then, yeah, the defence, they've lost some pretty key defenders this season. But yeah, they can outscore teams, I guess, if those two are playing well. And they've done it the last few weeks. One of my best mates goes to QPR, so I watch them a fair bit, and they're playing a whole lot better than what they were. They actually look like a competent football team that could probably stay in the division rather than just fluking a couple of wins here and there.
When they lost to Watford on the opening day 4-0, I immediately looked at the fixture for when we got to play them, and I was so annoyed it was going to be December, because I just knew that by the time we played them, they'd have sacked Ainsworth, got someone decent in, and be playing a whole lot better. So, of course, that's the case. Because I think under Ainsworth, Willick was basically banished from the first team, and it's one of those ones where you just know that as soon as a competent manager comes in, starts playing the right players in the right positions, they'll play a whole lot better. So you just sort of hope that doesn't happen before you get to play them. But yeah, Chair and Willick both in good form. Dykes even scoring a couple of goals up top. Apparently should have been sent off in the last game for throwing elbows around, but unfortunately will be lining up against us this weekend. I was looking at the last time we played them. It was 3-0 win last January. Connolly got his two goals while he was on loan with us from Brighton. Obviously, now he permanently. But I think Dickey got an own goal for them as well in a 3-0 win under a senior. So not a bad record against them in recent times. But it'll be a whole lot tougher than it would have been a couple of weeks ago. So how are you feeling? I mean, you're sort of the king of predictions now, aren't you? Because you run our predictions league in the Facebook group. You should be all over predictions for this one.
Yeah, well, I suck at it just because I run it. You're the one that's winning. Yeah, look, I think we should. I know they're in a bit of form and we're not playing. Well, we're playing good. The results haven't been as good, but we should be beating QPR. We're a playoff contending team and they're in a relegation scrap. And yeah, everything else outside of those things says it's probably going to be a tough game, but end of the day, we're a lot better than them across the park. Like, Chair and Willer could somehow get nice outside, perhaps, but everyone else is not near it, so we should be winning this.
Yeah, I think I saw, I mean, when you put their wins in context, I mean, obviously they beat Preston, and I can't remember who the other win was against, but they were both teams. Preston's got something like 6 points in their last like 10 games or something. Like they've been really poor. So it's not as if the wins have been against impressive teams. And like you said, I think our performance have been pretty good. Obviously just smashed Rotherham as well. So we seem to be getting on top of like beating those weaker teams. So I think we should be pretty comfortable in this one. I think as well, the fact that it's away for us actually is a good thing, because it means that they'll be much more attacking and come at us rather than set up like a Huddersfield or something and just park the bus against us, which should really help. Do you think we should make any changes for the game?
No, I don't think so. As I said, we played good. So I don't think we need to make any changes, just get a bit more fortunate and work out who our penalty taker is.
Yeah, that's it. Okay, well, I'm thinking maybe a 1 or a 2-0. I think maybe a 2-0 would be good. You know, like I said, I think we're playing pretty well. If we can keep them out, we kind of due a clean sheet, haven't had one for a couple of games now. It would be nice if Allsop stays in goal, keep a clean sheet, get some confidence back and get back on track.
Yeah, yeah. If it was midweek, I would go 1-0. But yeah, a full week off, I'm going to say 2-0.
Nice one. Okay, 2-0 from both of us. Well, look, I think that just about rounds things up. So thank you for joining for this one, Mitch.
Yeah, good to be back. Thanks for having me.
No worries. Good to have you back. And thanks, everyone, for listening in. We'll be back this time next week to chat all things Hull City and hopefully another 3 points against QPR. But until then, come on, City. You've been listening to the official Hull City Australia podcast, The Tigers Down Under. For more discussion, join us on Facebook at the Hull City AFC Australia Facebook group, or follow us on Twitter at Hull City AFC Oz. The music was created by Amber and Black. All the city's on fire, with a burning desire. Tigers are roaring, a destiny's calling, cause now is the time. Yeah, the city's on fire, we're going higher and higher. There's no turning back, cause you're